Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are we're positively into the off season right now. Luke Jones joins us to put a cherry on a bow on a whatever of a season that you make it 2 weeks into the playoffs. And quite frankly, Luke, this really speaks to expectations of the Ravens and the fan base here. Three playoff berths, a win this year, and a loss. The off season's so long, and I'm glad we took 24 hours because doing this at midnight on Saturday night probably would have been a different emotion. My emotion has been all along, I didn't think they were good enough to win the Super Bowl. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to eat with that and live with that. I know they could have, but I'm at peace with where their water fell where it should have for me.
Well, I think there are different ways of looking at it. I mean, we've talked about this really from the moment Ronnie Stanley went down for the season back on November 1st against Pittsburgh. And you and I discussed at that point in time, you expressed your belief that they couldn't win a Super Bowl at that point. I wasn't convinced that they couldn't, but certainly they took a big hit at that point when you're talking about a guy you had just given a $100 million contract to 2 days earlier. But I think with everything they've gone through, with some of the injuries they had, not that they had an extraordinary list of injuries, but they had injuries that they dealt with. Certainly they weren't as healthy as they were a year ago when they went 14-2 and you win 12 straight and you're the best team in regular season franchise history. But they dealt with that. Of course, they go 1-4 out of the bye week and they have the COVID outbreak, something that no one could have foreseen 12 months ago when we were talking about the loss to Tennessee. And
yeah, the Ravens are going to catch the plague next year. It's going to cost them some games. Yeah, that didn't even make any sense.
I mean, right. I mean, the mere concept of social distancing 12 months ago, who had heard of that? So from a relative standpoint, we had kind of said this going back to December that if this team could get into the playoffs, if they could win a playoff game, at that point, you consider the season a success. And that's understanding going into the year, they had very high expectations. How can you not when you're 14-2 the previous year and you have 13 Pro Bowl players and the reigning MVP at quarterback? So that's not the expectations going into the year were absolutely reasonable if you're fancying yourself a contender and one of the class teams of the league. So I don't want to sit here and do cartwheels over the final outcome of the season, because I think we'll get into Saturday night and just how ugly that football game was for the offense and special teams, quite frankly. But with the proper perspective in mind, as you mentioned, the emotions late Saturday night that fans have compared to Monday morning, compared to Wednesday, compared to a week from now, I think you do gain a little more perspective. But I will say this, fully acknowledging they did win a playoff game and fully acknowledging the relative expectations after everything they had gone through, the season being a success, I do go back to where they were a year ago when we were talking the day or two after the loss to Tennessee. And I do question, does the future appear as bright now as it did 12 months ago, when we are going to be talking about some of the same exact questions that we talked about 12 months ago after they lost to the Titans? So I think it is fair to ask that. It's not to say that they're not one of the best teams in the league and not going to make the playoffs next year, but many of the same questions, the offensive line, the passing game, Lamar Jackson as a passer, this football team in general, when it gets into January, the mistakes that we saw on Saturday night, some of the same mistakes that plagued them at various points over the course of the regular season. I think it is fair to ask some of those questions. And I think it is fair to continue to ask, what's it going to take for this team to get over the top, to get over the hump? Because, I mean, the reality is, Nestor, we've talked about a historic running game over the last 2 years. They've rushed for over 6,000 yards the last 2 years. It's unheard of.
They can't run for any more than they've run for.
But, right? Right, correct. I don't think there's a ceiling that's higher than what they've done the last 2 years in terms of rushing. Well, you look in the postseason the last 2 years, their season low in points scored has occurred in the postseason the last 2 years. And, that's not good. If you go to Buffalo and you lose 23-20 or you lose 27-24, you're you're disappointed, you're devastated in the way that you always are when the season comes to an end, but you understand that you left it all out on the field, right? You know, Lamar Jackson throws for a couple touchdowns, the offensive line protects to a reasonable level. You know, maybe Buffalo did a pretty good job against their running game, but they
maybe
still
you make your
points.
Field goals.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, obviously the wind was a major challenge in that game. I think you saw that with both teams and both kickers, both passing games, but
poor Tyler Huntley, right? Like that last pass,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
Like that just would have, I don't know that the Ravens would have won, but it would have made the game more fun.
It would have. Although I will say Allen missed a deep shot where a guy had gotten behind the defense as well. So, you know, I mean, there were a couple of those certainly. And I mean, the Ravens dropped some passes as well, but I just come back to how they exit. I mean, they didn't go up against the 85 Bears defense. This was the Bills weren't the 2000 Ravens in terms of defense. They give them credit. They had a hell of a plan. I mean, the way they played so much zone, the way they blitzed the heck out of Lamar Jackson in this offensive line that frankly wasn't ready for it. So you give them credit, but at the same time, we're talking about this thing and we've talked about, you know, having all these young players. We know they're not getting any more or any cheaper. We know that an extension for Lamar Jackson is rapidly approaching. If it's not this offseason, it's going to be very soon thereafter with him being in his fourth year. So
it would be amazing to see if anybody else in the league would really give him money, like real money, and say, we're going to completely rebuild our car around Lamar.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing to me to see how many people really believe they could win a Super Bowl with him. That if we draft all over again and you give me the big, tall thrower, you give me the kid from Clemson or, you know, whatever, or even the kid from the Jets, you know, whether someone would really say, I want to give Lamar Jackson $300 million to be my quarterback for the next 7 years or whatever that thing's going to look like, right? And say, we're going to rebuild around Lamar Jackson, that if anybody else 3 years into this really believes in it, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I think the Ravens have a unique feeling about this. They've built around him. I think they're all in. I think they will give him a lot of money.
Sure.
I believe all of that. But I really wonder if you threw him out on the street, if John Gruden really wants him. Or you know, or whomever these new hell, there's seven new coaches by the end of the week, right? So, I mean, a quarter of the league is turned over for coaches, right? Whether the coaches and the personnel people would say, I want that system, that quarterback. I'm going to win three or four games in the postseason like that, and we're going to keep him healthy. Instead of what happened the other night with the concussion.
Fair. Although I'll also say, how many of those teams have won 26 games the last 2 years?
We're having a lot of fun around here, but I'll
sure.
be going to win a
I mean, let's face it. We can, and we will talk about what's it going to take for this team to get to a point where you feel confident that they can win three or four games in January into early February. But the floor here is awful high, and it's way higher than it is just about anywhere in the league, save for a few places. So to answer your question, I think there are some teams. I don't think there are many because it is different. It is doing something that's outside the box. It is going against convention. And I respect the Ravens for recognizing a special talent. I mean, Nestor, do we need to even argue at this point? This is the greatest rushing quarterback in NFL history. I mean, he is. I mean, we can talk about Michael Vick and you know, maybe straight line speed, maybe being a little bit faster in his prime. But I mean, you look at what Atlanta did with him. It wasn't until much later in his career where Philadelphia actually designed an offense to kind of be a little more suited for what he can do as a thrower while still embracing what he does as a passer. In Atlanta, I mean, they had him trying to run the West Coast offense. It was the epitome of square peg round hole. So I definitely, to your point, to your question, there are certainly organizations that would still scoff at the notion of having a run first quarterback, a run first system at this point, quite frankly, because the passing game is more valuable than the running game when you look at it in conventional terms. A great running game runs for 5.5 yards per carry. Even the worst passing offenses in the league average more yards per attempt than that. So just from a simple math standpoint, the passing game is more valuable. But him being the extraordinary exception, the cheat code, so to speak, to kind of that conventional 2021 way of thinking about football, yeah, you would have a lot of teams that would say, we're probably not going to do that. But if you're talking about teams who haven't been successful, like, I don't know, the Detroit Lions, just throwing them out there, a team that
pick
never
any
had,
of the seven teams that are trying to pick their player. I mean, the Texans have the quarterback and they can't get along with him.
So, to answer your question, I do think there are teams, especially having the benefit of seeing how it's played out with the Ravens the last couple of years. It's one thing to say in 2018, you want to draft them. It's another thing to see how it's gone 3 years into this and see that, okay, maybe January hasn't looked so hot, but they've gotten to January 3 years in a row with this guy, and they've had a lot of fun, and they've set records, and he's one of the most exciting players of the last 20 years in the NFL. There's no disputing that. But when you do bring it back full circle to the conversation of not just wanting to get to the playoffs, but giving yourself the best chance to win, it is hard to ignore the fact that Lamar Jackson, each of his 3 years as a starter, the team's lowest point total in games in which he started occurred in the postseason in each of those. Talking about the last seven games of 2018, not talking about the Flacco, first nine games of 2018, but the lowest point total each of those seasons of all the games that Lamar Jackson started were the three playoff games. And I mean, that's not all on him. Let's be clear about that. I mean, the offensive line was awful on Saturday night. They dropped passes. They had penalties. They had two missed field goals. They had, they had a shank punt by Sam Cook. I mean, you had a lot of things happen in that game that had nothing to do with Lamar, but you do look at where they were late in the third quarter, long drive, chance to tie the game, and he throws the first red zone interception of his career. Again, not one of those things you can prepare for because he's been so
flawless. Would be the word there. Flawless.
Not just dynamic inside the red zone, but to your point, flawless, because he hadn't made that critical error, but it comes at the worst possible time, and that's what's so frustrating about these last couple seasons. I mean, even this year,
he's not played well in big games. I mean, and the team hasn't played well around him in big games.
Right.
And this system doesn't like big games when there's a 50-50 chance against a good team on the road.
Yeah.
You're going to be losing. You know what I mean? Like, literally, when you're losing, this is a junk offense. You know what I mean? Like, literally, no one would employ this offense willingly when you're losing. It's not the way the league works. I mean, yeah, the Tennessee Titans don't even run the ball when they're losing, and they run the ball, right? So
right,
it's the nature of being behind 10 or 13 or 14 or 17 points in the second or third quarter of an NFL knockout game. If that's the case, you would not employ this offense. You wouldn't like this. You would call this offense what Joe Flacco called it, a high school offense.
Yeah, I mean, that was a little more wildcat. They don't do as much of that as we saw early in 2018.
Right, because Lamar's not trying to run 18 times a game. He's trying to run 8 to 10 times a game, right?
Right, right. But, I mean, you're right. And I would say, I mean, I do think the narrative of falling behind, I think there's truth to it. I do think it's been overblown at times because the reality is most teams fall behind by 10. They're in trouble. I mean, what Kansas City did in January last year, falling behind at least 10 points in each of their three playoff games. It's not as though Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy sat around in a room last January and said, yeah, let's fall behind by 10. Well, we got them right where we want them then. But you're right in the sense that when you fall behind, this is an offense that's difficult in terms of adaptation to just start saying we have to throw now and to just go into that mode. It's very difficult if you're someone who's on Twitter and you seek out an analyst I respect and you kind of look at the post-mortem in terms of what the
Luke, you're breaking up on me here. Repeat what you just said in regard to
productivity out of them.
You were following someone. What did you say in regard to following someone on Twitter?
When you're following various people on Twitter, when you're talking about former players whose opinions you respect, whether it's Smith, I mean guys that are doing at least some media, for example, early in the weekend, put together a video package talking about this passing game. It is interesting to see the various opinions. And I'm not talking about the fire Greg Roman into the sun and that kind of anger, but talking about constructive criticism as far as this passing game not having a whole lot of sophistication and variance and route concepts. Matt Bowen's talked about that on ESPN doing the NFL matchup over the years. And the last couple of years has talked about this Ravens passing game and it not looking like other teams in that way and how it's all based off the run. So you have people who talk about it from a schematic standpoint, from a route concept standpoint. You have people who, again, I'm talking about informed opinions, whether you agree with them or not, but they lay out a rational discussion, a rational argument. Doug Farrar, who has joined us many times, I know at USA Today, wrote a piece really kind of picking apart, saying it's Greg Roman or just saying it's you know, needing another wide receiver. And there are those individuals who, like me, and I've talked about this, and I'm not going to shy away from it because it's an argument that I presented plenty of times during the Joe Flacco era as far as this team needing another high-impact pass catcher. Now, the problem with that is how are you going about doing that? Are you going to go out there on the free agent market? And let's face it, if you're a high-end receiver, are you exactly chomping at the bit to join this offense, knowing that you're not going to catch 125 balls and have 1,500 receiving yards like Stephon Diggs did in Buffalo this year, going to that offense and Josh Allen, who had a transformation? So if you have some issues with free agency, and of course the Ravens aren't going to have as much cap space as they did 2 years ago, how else are you doing it? Via trade? I mean, that's certainly an option. That's what Arizona and Buffalo did this past offseason. Or you go back to the draft and, well, the Ravens can find many positions in the draft. Wide receivers, one that you don't have as much confidence with, although Marquise Brown certainly came up big toward the end of the season. So that was good to see. But my point is, looking at this passing game, and I think most, if a better chance, the best chance to win 3 to 4 games in January into February, they need meaningful improvement in the passing game. It doesn't have to, they don't have to become a pass happy offense or become number one in the league in yards per game. But I think compared to where they were last year, where it was so efficient, you've got to at least get back to where you were in 2019 efficiency wise. But going about doing that, you hear various opinions. So when you hear those different opinions, Nestor, I think the truth probably, you know, everyone's correct to some degree. Lamar needs to be better. Certainly their offensive option on the interior, whether it's, you know, a right guard, whether it's a center who can, snap the ball consistently. I mean,
we're 20 minutes into this. We haven't mentioned the snapping
problem Saturday night, what that meant. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's why as much as, you know, I'm not trying to sit here just having a you-know-what fest about this, but that was a lousy performance on Saturday night offensively. I mean, there are very few things you can point to offensively again, as he's done in his two previous playoff games. So that's good. I'd love it a lot more if Marquise Brown was your number two wide receiver and you had another high-impact guy on the outside that can make plays, because I'll continue to come back to this. And even though I think it's you do look at it and say, okay, what would a number one receiver really do for Lamar Jackson? And I think that's fair to ask. And what would that really do for this offense? Because they are such a run-first offense. However, a year ago at this time, Josh Allen, from a perception standpoint, was way closer to looking like a bust, a first-round bust, than being the MVP candidate that he became this year. And how can you not look at the correlation of Stephon Diggs' arrival there and think what kind of impact that had? And when you're talking about approaching this time period now where the Ravens are going to be looking at an extension, and there were some reports over the weekend that, you know, it could be as soon as the next few months. When you kind of look at the timeline that Kansas City had with Mahomes, the timeline that Houston had with Deshaun Watson, I mean, you know, going into year four, you know, before you get to year four, has been a fairly common time when you extend a franchise quarterback. But before you do that, And I, this isn't me saying you wouldn't do that, but before you do that, aren't you just completely fascinated to see what that kind of receiver, if you brought that kind of receiver into this offense, what that would do? And to see if Lamar Jackson, who made this phenomenal jump from his rookie year to year two, aren't you fascinated and captivated and just completely intrigued by the idea of if you could bring in, whether it's an Allen Robinson or Godwin, who's might end up getting the tag. I mean, you know, throw out whatever whatever free agent to be, whatever disenchanted guy that another team doesn't want to pay. You know, what happened with Diggs in Minnesota? You know, there's a falling out.
Hopkins
there.
In Houston.
It happens. I mean, you know, we know the wide receiver position and how guys can be, how guys can be, whether it's justified or not. So whether it's that avenue or, and I wouldn't feel nearly as confident about this just because the organization hasn't had a great track record drafting a receiver early, but boy, I'd love to see what a Stephon Diggs type player would do for Lamar Jackson in this passing game. And maybe it wouldn't be as dramatic as what it was for Josh Allen and the Bills, but I'd really love to see that before you just sign over what's going to be the next 5-6 years of your franchise, giving a 9-figure contract, and not just $100 million. This is going to be serious money, as it should be. Lamar Jackson's earned it, but I'd love to see what another high impact pass catcher would do for this offense before we just say, well, this is what it is. And they're just going to, you know, they're going to go this route and they're going to try to run for 3,300 yards every year and hope that, you know, they get a good draw as far as the postseason. And by the way, the draw in the postseason matters. I mean, I'm not saying that there isn't luck and random variance involved and things of that nature. So that always plays a part. I mean, look on Sunday that Cleveland had a chance. You know, Patrick Mahomes goes down in the second half and suddenly, you know, it's Chad Henne playing quarterback. So, you know, weird things can happen. Weird things have happened on this team's two previous Super Bowl championship runs. But if you're really trying to, you know, whether you call it hedge your bets or improve your odds, however you want to characterize it, I can't help but get, you know, I can't get past the Stephon Diggs thing and seeing what that meant for Josh Allen and not look at the Ravens and want to see them go out and, I don't know how exactly you do it, but find that guy and see if there is another a higher ceiling for Lamar Jackson as a passer, because again, he just turned 24. Well, I mean, let's not portray this as though this is all it's ever going to be. But when we're talking about kind of the same issues back-to-back years now, you know, I don't want to count his rookie year, because I mean, he wasn't really supposed to play a whole lot his rookie year. It just happened to play out that way. But the last 2 years, talking about these same question marks at the end of the season, boy, I can't help but look at what Arizona and Buffalo did this offseason and really, really want to see the Ravens figure out a way to do something of at least close to that and see what that would mean for this offense, because you put a little more diversification in this offense, it's going to make Mark Andrews better because they're not keying on him as much. It's going to make Marquise Brown better because he's not the miscast number one receiver by default now. He's the number two, and I'd love to see what that does for him. And, oh, yeah, it's going to make that running game that much more of an absolute nightmare to deal with if you know that the Ravens feel more confident in going out there and throwing more frequently when they want to, when the matchup dictates that. So it's just something that I feel the way I feel about it. And I'm not guaranteeing that that means they become a top five passing game. I'm not suggesting they have to become a top five, but they need to be better than they were and certainly need to be better than they were on Saturday night. But that's a multi-pronged task right there. When you're talking about the O-line, you're talking about pass catchers, you're talking about scheme, and you're talking about, yes, your young quarterback who, you know, at times this year certainly did not play at the MVP level that he did a year ago, which, you know, some of that regression, as I said at the beginning of the year, should have been expected, but you want to see this thing continue to move forward. And that's where I go back to my original question in, yeah, we can look at this season and say they won a playoff game and it should be considered a success after everything they went through and being 6-5. But do you feel the future is as bright now as when we were talking about this a year ago. And that's where I'm not quite as sure, because we're a year into this thing, you know, from where we were at that point, and they didn't have another 14-2 season. I'm not surprised by that, but we're talking about some of the same questions, some of the same concerns in terms of this team's ability to get over the hump. So that, and oh yeah, another year, you know, the Ravens have paid Ronnie Stanley. They paid Marlon Humphrey. They're going to pay Lamar Jackson. You assume they're going to pay Mark Andrews. What does that mean for Marquise Brown? What does that mean for Orlando Brown? These decisions are coming. And oh yeah, by the way, they're going to have some free agents that walk out the door this offseason, most likely on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, it doesn't get easier is my point. So what are you doing to try to get over the hump and diversify what you do a little bit more? I mean, that defense, we haven't even talked about the defense and the effort they put forth on Saturday night against one of the best offenses in the league. I mean, they gave up 10 points, the defense did. So you feel for that, but is there going to have to be some give for something on the defensive side of the ball in order to, you know, as I talked, have this offense evolve and grow a little bit more and be able to beat you a little bit more with the pass than they were in 2020?
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. His Wi-Fi is a little messy up in Pennsylvania, but we're getting that under order. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com finds me all the time. We are going to be diving into democracy as well as the Ravens offseason here. Probably get a little nip at spring training out of Luke, and then maybe even some focus on the Terps if they're going to play some basketball. But in the meantime, you can find us together out at BaltimorePositive.com and the new place. Make sure you subscribe and checking out our podcast, all the stuff that we're doing here as we grow into 2021. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We will continue with all things Ravens offseason as we get into the sad offseason and watching the Bills and the Chiefs and the Bradys and the Aaron Rodgers play football this week. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive.